Well, it's 29 December. It's Wednesday. It's time for the Wednesday CG report. Vindicated. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, I've been doing this. I get a lot of compliments for this part of the section, so I'm going to do it. If you don't like it, please just forward ahead a couple minutes. These are people that in the past week have died suddenly. All right, now, no causes listed on these, or it is suspicious, and that's why they're included. I'm not saying that they're all vax deaths, but they are all people that died suddenly. Let's see, from SI on 1222, Detroit Tigers first base coach Kamara Barty passed away. Club shocked and saddened. Detroit Tigers first base coach Kamara Barty, who played four seasons with the Tigers from 1996 until 1999, died after collapsing. Barty, 49 years old, was visiting his father in Omaha, Nebraska, when he experienced a medical emergency. I'd say dying suddenly is a medical emergency. From AL.com on 1222, Georgia High School senior quarterback prospect Robbie Roper dies suddenly. Robbie Roper, 18, led Roswell Georgia High to a 10-3 record this past season. The family announced that Roper had died. They didn't publicly release a cause of death, which means it's suspicious right there. My guess is that he died of the vaccination. From the Daily Voice, 1221, beloved dad, Trenton Waterworks Inspector Christopher Morgan, dies suddenly at age 41. From the Daily Voice on 1221 again, beloved Hamilton High School graduate Jared Dunn dies suddenly at age 28. From the Daily Record, 1221, Tracy Ann Sutter. Tracy Ann Sutter died suddenly. She was 53. From Yorkshire Live on 1223, Bately Mum, 24, died suddenly while 28 weeks pregnant. Very sad, but doctors safely delivered her baby. Sadie Exley, 24, died on Saturday, December 4th, after being rushed to hospital following a brain hemorrhage, something that vaccines are known to cause. From the Daily Voice on 1223, Lehigh Valley native, beloved Chief Cariza Davis Nickens dies suddenly at age 36. From the Mirror, 1224, man, 34, dies suddenly in his sleep days before Christmas, leaving family devastated. Derek Mwangi, 34, of London, had no warning symptoms before he suffered a fatal heart attack in his sleep on December 15th. Sounds like he could have been vaxxed. From SM Observed, 1225, New York Times editor dies 24 hours after receiving a Moderna COVID booster shot. He was a little arrogant about it when he got it. Carlos Tejeda, deputy Asia director for the New York Times, meaning he's probably a big lefty, died at 49 years of age of a coronary or myocardial infarction. This according to a post from his wife on 23 December. He posted the day before on CR Tejeda, double vaxxed, Janssen fueled, Moderna boosted. Hey, Omicron, hit me with your wet snot. All I had to do was fill out this form in a language I can't read. Translation software tells me I now belong to the BTS army. Actually, the software didn't translate it properly. He is belonging to the grave. Ms. Tejeda posted the following on December 23rd. This is Carlos's wife, Nora. It's with deepest sorrow that I have to share with you that Carlos passed away last night of a heart attack. He doesn't need to worry about Omicron anymore, does he? From the Gateway Pundit, investigation has launched after three-year-old girl dies from cardiac arrest one day after receiving COVID-19 vaccine in Argentina. Why anybody would give a child a COVID vaccine is beyond me. They lost their child because of it. Mail Online, Emmy-winning director of Dallas Buyers Club and Big Little Lies, Jean-Marc Vallée, passes away at 58 in cabin outside Quebec City. The cause and further details have not yet been reported, meaning that it's suspect and it was probably he got over-vaccinated. That's my guess. Okay, getting away from died suddenly, from the Hill. 1216, Fauci, Omicron likely dominant in U.S. in a few weeks, warns hospitals could be overwhelmed. Well, it's been 2 weeks and they are not overwhelmed. Wrong again, Fauci. All right, from Bloomberg, from 1226, Fauci warns of complacency with virus set to fill hospitals. You got to keep the audience riveted there, Fauci, don't you? 2 weeks ago, you were wrong, and now you're going to be wrong again. From Georgia Star News, 1220, Democrats urge health officials to require vaccination or negative test for domestic flights. That was on 1220. 1 week later, the Epic Times, Fauci, vaccine mandate for domestic air travel would be welcome. From Zero Hedge, CDC makes major changes to COVID isolation records, treats unboosted as unvaxxed for quarantines. So if you are unboosted, you are now unvaxxed, according to the CDC. You need more vaccinations and more chances of dying from those vaccinations. From Mail Online, vaccinated and boosted, Representative Jim Clyburn tests positive for COVID. Now, these go back a week. I'm just giving you a synopsis of the past week. Next one, Newsmax. Democrat Representative Schakowsky says she tested positive for COVID. I guarantee you these people are vaxxed, double vaxxed, and boosted. From CNBC, Senator Chris Coons, seven staffers who traveled with Defense Deputy Secretary have COVID. No, they're all boosted if they're in the Defense Department. You know that. Mail Online, BTS singer Suga, 28, tests positive for COVID-19 after returning with his K-pop band from the United States. And you know he's vaccinated, having traveled to the United States from Korea. From Reuters, COVID. Let me tell you before I go on, these vaccines do not work. If they did, we wouldn't be reading all these articles every week. They do not work. If you're taking them or if you're planning on taking them, the only thing you're doing is getting a chance of dying of a myocardial infarction or a brain hemorrhage or something like that. They do not work. Okay, Reuters, COVID. Germany records first death from Omicron variant. No comment on his vaccination status, meaning that he was, I guarantee you, fully vaccinated. From the Gateway Pundit, Oregon Health Authority, 622 fully vaccinated residents died of COVID. Okay, the vaccination means nothing. Being fully vaccinated means nothing. And being boosted means nothing. Okay, that's what it means. It means absolutely nothing. You're safer not taking these things at this point. This is validated and proven by study after study. It's validated and proven by news article after news article. From the Epic Times, this is on 1223. 95% fully vaccinated Royal Caribbean cruise ship reports COVID-19 outbreak. And then from Epic Times on 1227, 4 days later, growing number of highly vaccinated cruise ships facing disruption over COVID-19. At least four cruise ships have reported COVID-19 cases in recent days. From U.S. News, U.S. CDC investigating nearly 70 cruise ships hit by COVID-19 cases. The CDC said COVID-19 cases on 68 ships had met its threshold for an investigation. Once again, they don't work. The vaccines do not work. We'll go on. Epic Times, U.S. Navy warship pauses deployment after COVID-19 outbreak among 100% immunized crew. Guess what? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? They don't work. They have been forcing people out of the U.S. military. If they won't get this stupid shot, they're probably saving their lives by not taking this shot, and then the people are getting COVID anyway. What is the point other than an agenda behind the scenes? There's no point in this at all other than an agenda. Mail Online. This one really fires me up, and I'm going to tell you why after I give you the title. I've gotten a lot of emails about it. Trump is a fraud. Furious anti-vaxxers are turned away from Trump Grill in New York City for failing to show proof of vaccination. Duh. They're in New York City. It's the law there. They have to ask for the vaccination, and they're just complying with the law. If he didn't do this, guess what? He would be the first person on every newspaper in America saying that he's not following the law of New York City. Secondly, I understand that Trump is pro-vaccine. I've talked to many people about this. He's never changed that stand. He was pro-vaccine last year before they were even developed. He was pro-vaccine about 5 months ago when he was standing in a church and the whole church booed him. Okay, I understand that. It doesn't mean that he's right. He's just pro-vaccine, but he is not pro-mandate. We cannot lump Donald Trump in with all of these other numbskulls out there. He thinks he did a good thing. And if he admits at this point that he didn't do a good thing, that people are actually dying from this vaccination, then all of a sudden they can blame Donald Trump for it. He's in a no-win situation no matter what happens. He was asked to shut down the economy. He trusted what he thought were the specialists, and he's been paying the price for that for over a year and a half. Please do not ever send me an email about Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump if it's negative, because I'm not going to respond, and I'll probably never respond to you again. I like these gentlemen. I understand that they are human beings and they have faults, and some of the things they do are not what I would agree with. Both of the men have been vaccinated. So what? Okay, let it go. From Zero Hedge, protests erupt in South Korea over vaccination deaths. Americans and Europeans aren't the only people to express skepticism of the COVID jabs produced by a handful of pharmaceutical giants, most notably Pfizer and Moderna. As reports of deaths and other adverse health events suspected of being triggered by vaccines mount, South Koreans are reportedly taking to the streets to protest their government's refusal to acknowledge thousands of deaths that many believe were caused by vaccines. I would say that that is absolutely certain, and it is 100% correct. These people watch their brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children get vaccinated, and they saw them keel over in their oatmeal or their Korea in their sushi or bulgogi or something the next day. Okay, 1 + 1 usually equals 2, unless you're a Democrat or something. But these people are dying of vaccines, and these people are upset about it. As we said above, more than 10,000 people have died under murky circumstances shortly after being vaccinated in South Korea. The government has only reported a connection in a handful of serious cases. You know what I just did? I'm sitting here talking to you about the Koreans, and I mentioned bulgogi, and now I'm hungry. If you've never had bulgogi, come to Sarasota, Florida. We've got the best Korean restaurant on the planet here. They're good Christian people, and they make the most wonderful bulgogi. If you come to the Superior Word first and I have time, I'll take you there myself. Great stuff. And I haven't eaten lunch today, so I'm looking forward to some bulgogi. All right? I just can't wait for it. Okay, Gateway Pundit. Four young soccer stars from four different countries, guess what they did? Yes, they died this week after suffering sudden heart attacks. Croatian footballer Marin Kasic, I guess, Oman international player Mukhaled Al-Rakadi, Egyptian goalkeeper Ahmed Amin, and Algerian football player Sofiane Loukar all died this week, the COVID world reported. They died from soccer. I'm sure that's what it is. They all got a ball in the side of their head or something, and they keeled over from that. From Outkick, two more bowl games are canceled as COVID leaves rosters short on players. You know that they're all vaccinated. If they're playing, they're vaccinated, and they're all short on players because they've all got COVID. Because the vaccines, yes, you're right, they don't work. Okay, Catholic Herald, New Zealand okays euthanasia for COVID patients. Yes, patients admitted to hospital with COVID-19 can die by euthanasia if doctors decide they might not survive, the New Zealand government has declared. Okay, you've got COVID, you're probably not going to make it, and if you want to get nixed, we'll nix you, okay? Earth Chronicles. Hospital overload. Korea orders 210 COVID-19 patients to leave ICUs. This is in Korea, where they make bulgogi. Guess what? They are 96.7% vaccinated in the country of Korea. And they have 210 COVID-19 patients have to leave the ICUs. 96.7% vaccinated. The vaccines don't work. Okay, from GB News, COVID cases reach record high in Scotland over festive period. 80.2% vaccinated in Scotland. Okay, now I understand if you go to another website, it might say 79.3, but these are the statistics that I get from the website I go to, and it says they are 80.2% vaccinated. And yet, they're reaching a record high in Scotland because the vaccines don't work. From GB News again. COVID, over 12,000 jingle jabs administered on Christmas Day, NHS figures reveal. 12,000 people. I wonder how many of them will not be alive by the end of the week or the end of next week or within a month or so. I wonder. Okay, Christmas. I'm going to go get a jingle jab. Sounds fun, doesn't it? My vaccine journey started on Christmas Day. It ended on Boxing Day. Okay, from Zero Hedge. UK mulls door-to-door vaccination squads. I'm going to tell you something. If they start this in America and we get a lefty governor in Florida, we'll be serving lead for breakfast in a lot of houses because people are not going to take this. But here we go. The UK is considering a plan to send door-to-door vaccination squads to the homes of unvaccinated Britons in an effort to reach an estimated 5 million people who haven't taken the jab. The initiative has been discussed by the DOH, the NHS England, and Number 10 over the past week as part of a nationwide drive to send vaccine teams into areas which have the lowest vaccination rates. I bet you they're the healthiest in the nation at this point as well, and are floating it as an alternative to lockdowns and other restrictions. So they're bribing you and they're sending people to threaten you at the same time, as well as a solution to encourage vaccination in rural areas or households where people cannot easily travel to a vax center. Can you imagine that? These people just don't want to be vaccinated. That's what's going on. They can get to a vax center. I'm sure they've got them on every little corner in the country of the UK. But these people just want to be left alone. They don't want to die by vax. I think anything that encourages the vaccine hesitant is sensible, said one cabinet minister who then warned, the mood in the country, listen to this, the mood in the country is hardening against people who refuse to be vaccinated. Sounds like one of these novels, Orwell or something, you know, where you just are on the outside because you don't want to take a shot that can kill you and that doesn't do anything. Actually, it probably reduces your immunity, as we've seen in other reports in the past, and so you get sicker quicker. Once again, I'm rhyming. I did that last week, and rhymes are coming out of me like poetry when I don't know a tree, okay? And so what they're saying, in other words, is get vaxxed despite the fact that Omicron laughs at the vaccine. And hardly anyone has died of it. I mean, in the whole world, we've got a couple people that have died of Omicron. From Zero Hedge, 70% of London's COVID hospitalizations were diagnosed after the patient had already been admitted for other ailments, it has been revealed. The figure is important because a so-called surge in London hospitalizations for COVID is being used as a justification to lobby for further lockdown restrictions on the British public. However, as Telegraph journalist Alison Pearson reveals, much of the panic is being driven by cases being counted as COVID despite the patient being admitted for other reasons. Once again, we've got an agenda going on here, and it is not a healthy agenda. They're taking away people's rights. They're destroying the fabric of societies all over the world. And you can see where the one world government is going to step in one of these days, and they're going to start increasing in their ability to take over people's lives. This is what's happening here. I don't think there's any challenge to that at this point, unless you just don't understand what the Bible is saying. It's really sad what's going on. From the Epoch Times, Air Force, I alluded to this last Sunday, Air Force denies 2,130 religious exemptions to the vaccine mandate. They're getting rid of the best, the Christians, the people that love their nation, the people that have served faithfully and would have served faithfully. They're getting rid of them because they are Christians, because we can't have them in the U.S. military serving. That will interrupt our plan of having a woke military where people will do exactly what they're told, even firing on American citizens, which is against the law. The military can't operate in the U.S., but when you got people that just do what they're told without questioning anything, that's the next inevitable course of action there. From Mail Online, Marines have now booted 169 for vaccine refusal, all religious exemptions denied. U.S. Marines. Georgia Star News, Pfizer's Comirnaty available abroad. Did you know that? They have now got the Comirnaty available abroad, but not in the U.S. New York-based Pfizer has sold and shipped hundreds of millions of doses of its FDA-approved COVID-19 vaccine, Comirnaty, to the EU, despite saying last week that it is not being shipped in the United States. Comirnaty was approved by the FDA in August. It is said that it will continue to ship the emergency use authorization, the EUA version of its vaccine, in the United States until the supply runs out or expires, because there's no liability at all for them using this. And by the time that these Comirnaty are introduced here, they will have an approval for a waiver to any liability for all the rest of the future. In several places, this policy has caused legal issues. You think? Newsweek. Spanish Prime Minister set to enact law that makes it mandatory to wear masks outside. Unbelievable. But I got to tell you, it doesn't surprise me, because we got knuckleheads coming down from up north right now. The beaches are full of them. The streets are full of them. The mall that I take care of and the 7-Eleven that I take care of are full of them. They walk down the road all by themselves with their little COVID masks on. I guarantee you that they're double vaxxed, they're boosted, and they're probably boosted again because they went and told them they needed another booster to fly south or something. They're down here shedding their COVID on us. And they're walking around in sunshine with nobody even near them with their masks on. I mean, the world has gone just crazy. All right, from Zero Hedge, MSNBC doctor, this is a doctor, calls for denying medical care to the unvaccinated. Right on MSNBC, which isn't surprising, but isn't there something called the Hippocratic Oath? Isn't there something where they're supposed to preserve life at all costs? I mean, this guy is probably an abortion doctor. He's probably, does trans surgery stuff for people. He probably does all that kind of stuff. And he also says, don't work on any vaccinated people because they don't deserve it, because they're unvaccinated from a vaccine that doesn't work at all, that's been proven not to work, and that also kills people. But we're going to deny them any possibility of being taken care of in our hospitals. That's for sure. From Zero Hedge. Judgment Day. Sweden vindicated. We already knew this last year, but it's just vindicated again. Throughout the coronavirus pandemic, Austria has been one of the most repressive European countries, implementing severe lockdowns, school closures, far-reaching mask mandates, and even an N95 FFP2 mask mandate. Record-setting mass PCR testing and contact tracing, as well as early vaccine passports. Austria was also the first Western country to impose a lockdown for the unvaccinated, and the first Western country to announce a general vaccine mandate. In contrast, Sweden has widely been regarded, or indeed criticized, as the least repressive Western country during the coronavirus pandemic, imposing no lockdowns, no elementary school closures, no mask mandates, no vaccine passport, and very limited testing and contact tracing compared to Austria and most other Western countries. And yet, in December 2021, Austria overtook Sweden in terms of total COVID mortality. This comes after Austria has reached, in late November, the highest 7-day COVID infection rate in the world. Well, when you're all vaccinated, you're all going to get COVID. That's pretty certain based on the research that we do week after week for you here at The Superior Word. The European average COVID mortality had already overtaken Swedish COVID mortality back in March 2021. Things aren't going so well for vaccinated nations, but they don't want to admit they're wrong. This is human nature. They don't want to admit they're wrong. And so what do? They just keep going along with it. They just keep going along with it. They just keep going along with it, killing people, ruining lives, causing people to wear those stupid masks and they get pimples all over their face. So when they get home, they take off their mask and their wife doesn't want to give them a kiss because he's so ugly with his pimples. I mean, the whole thing is just bad. But maybe that's what it is, too. They just want people to have pimple faces. I don't know what the reason is. Okay, from Mail Online, we just heard about Austria, right? Sweden's way up here. Austria's way down here as far as health, or vice versa. Sweden is down here as far as no vaccinations, and Austria's way up here as far as that's concerned. Okay, right? Listen to this. Mail Online. Austria says it will WILL in big capital letters, will give a fourth COVID vaccine booster dose to health workers as Europe tries to avoid being forced into more restrictions by Omicron wave. The Omicron isn't killing anybody, but it's getting all of the Austrians sick because they're all vaccinated. They've all reduced their ability to have their immune system fight off the Omicron virus. And so now what are they doing? They're saying fourth jab for all health workers, all of them. And guess what's going to happen next week? Oh, they're done and we're still getting this stuff. So they're going to pass it on. Everybody's going to get their fourth jab. There's going to be people keeling over all over the place in Austria in the next few weeks. Zero Hedge. Media falsely reports Texas man died from Omicron while government officials refused to say. Last week I reported on that because that's what the news said. They had said that this guy died of Omicron and you would believe him. You would say, oh, he died of Omicron. And there was a little thing. Well, he was unvaccinated. So it's Omicron and an unvaccinated person. And come to find out that they lied. They lied to you. They lied to me. They lied to the American public. Not surprising being the press, but they lied. Okay, it's a sad thing which is going on in the world where you can't even read a news article and get the truth anymore. From the Times of Israel, UK agency, Pfizer booster's ability to prevent symptomatic COVID wanes within weeks. Data shows third shot 70% effective in preventing illness after 2 weeks, but only 45% effective after 10 weeks. So you've got to get boosted every 2 months for the rest of your life. That's what this means. Your vaccines don't work. They don't keep you from getting sick at all. As a matter of fact, they help you get sick. We've seen that again and again. And now they're going to tell you you need to get boosted every 2 months until you keel over from that. Okay, from Zero Hedge, Israel starts fourth COVID dose trial while pushing booster on children 12 and up. They're boosting little kids that would have been just fine without this. And now they're saying that everybody's got to go to the fourth jab, just like over in Austria. It's terrible what's going on. It is horrifying what's going on in the world today. From the Epic Times, lockdown policies and mask mandates linked with lower IQ in children. Oh, I'm sorry. What? I must have been masked recently or something. Okay, I'm not a child. I understand that, but I think like one. Okay, the nation's recent lockdown policies and mask mandates will create a generation of children who exhibit lower IQs and signs of social brain damage, according to a clinical psychiatrist for children and adolescents. Dr. Mark McDonald cited an August 11th study by Brown University that found that children born during the pandemic have significantly reduced verbal, motor, and overall cognitive performance compared to children born pre-pandemic. I reported on that when it came out. The masks, Zoom schools, and lockdown mandates have led to deprivation overall of social contact, of not being able to see faces, being stuck at home all day long, and has actually caused brain damage to the youngsters, he said. Study after study after study has shown this, and he checked it out, and he agrees with the study. So there you go on that. I was in Publix before church last Sunday. Do you know why I was in Publix before I went to church last Sunday? It's because I went to church last Sunday. So I stopped there, and then I come here. What I'm trying to tell you is that you should be attending church. If you don't have a church to attend, we're streaming right online, right here at the Superior Word, every single Sunday. All you have to do is turn it on, and if you don't want to go anywhere and just stay home, you can do it in whatever clothes you want. You can look as shabby or as good as you want, dress up and wear a tux, watch the Superior Word. But I was at Publix on my way to church last Sunday, and there was a guy there with his little girl, teeny cute little girl sitting in the cart, and he's pushing her around, and she had her face completely blocked up. And I thought, what a damaging thing to do to this child. What a damaging thing. Walking around there with like 10 people in a store at that time of the day because they just opened. Everybody's sleeping off the night before, except me. I get up at 3 o'clock, by the way, actually 3:30. But day's half over by the time I get to Publix at 7:15. But that's all irrelevant to the story. The poor kid, that's what I'm worried about, is that poor child. Cute little eyes up above this mask, and that's all you see of her. Everything else is hidden. Gateway Pundit. Brain bleeds, heart attacks in younger 50-year-olds. No doctor will admit this is from the vaccine. They won't make the VAERS report, Southern California nurse says. Long article, but it simply says that these people are not being reported, and yet they're coming in by the bucketful with brain bleeds, heart attacks, all kinds of stuff, and people younger than 50 that never had this kind of stuff before, or it was very rare. Now it's just as common as apples on an apple tree from weasel zippers. 25% of all new COVID cases nationwide occurring in New York, not in Florida. Now, I don't want to get cocky there because we have a different environment here in Florida. The point is that New York is all vaxxed up and they're getting it like crazy. Lots of old people in Florida, they're all vaxxed up too. And yes, they shed on us and we've got to watch out for that. But besides that point, Florida, we go outside when most people are inside. They start getting COVID and then it switches and people don't like being out in the heat in Florida because it's really hot and humid. And so they come inside and the rates will rise during the, you know, the spring and the summer next year. I feel confident of that. But they will use that against Governor DeSantis because it'll be before the elections and the rates will be going up. And they'll say, see, he's ineffective when he's been the most effective governor in the country as far as taking care of COVID. But the point is that it is New York and not Florida that is going up right now. So if you want a nice vacation, and don't wear your mask. If you come down here, don't wear your mask. You'll just get everybody that lives here upset because we'll know that you're a shedder. Okay, we don't want that. Come down here and enjoy the fresh air. Don't wear your mask. Okay, now I have something interesting for you. It's called non-COVID news. I know that's a shock to you, but I have non-COVID news from the Epoch Times. Solomon Islands government turns to Beijing amid ongoing domestic tensions. The Solomon Islands. Beijing has confirmed it will send a police advisory team to the Solomon Islands along with emergency riot equipment for police after the Solomon Islands government requested aid from the Chinese regime. They're getting deeper and deeper into debt with the Chinese, and pretty soon they will be owned 100% lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese. Newsmax, Nicaragua seizes former Taiwan embassy and gives it to who? To the people of Nicaragua? No, they give it to China. The Nicaraguan government has seized the former embassy and diplomatic offices of Taiwan, saying they belong to China. President Ortega's government broke off relations with Taiwan this month, saying it would recognize only the mainland government. Before departing, Taiwanese diplomats attempted to donate the properties to the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Managua. That didn't work out. Ortega seized the property. He gave it to the Chinese. From the Epoch Times, Cuba signs Belt and Road Agreement with China. Cuba, you are getting this every time. How do you know? Have you been reading my articles? Well, anyway, good job, China. Cuba and China have signed a cooperation plan to push forward construction projects under Beijing's controversial Overseas Infrastructure Program, the BRI, which has saddled many participating countries with heavy debt loads. Do you think Cuba's going to be any different? I don't think so. The Chinese embassy in Cuba announced the agreement on its website, saying that the deal was inked by the head of China's top economic planning agency, the National Development and Reform Commission, and Cuban Vice Prime Minister Ricardo Cabrisas. The agreement implemented a memorandum of understanding the two nations signed in 2018, when Cuba agreed to becoming a BRI participant nation. Under the agreement, the two nations are aimed to work together on projects in several key sectors, including communications, education, health and biotechnology, science and technology, and tourism. The Chinese embassy also stated that a timetable and a roadmap had been proposed to implement the projects without giving any details. The timeline and the roadmap are actually in the secret vault of the Chinese. This is when we're going to take this part of Cuba away. This is when we're going to make these people subservient to us. And this is when they're going to be totally enslaved to us. That's the timeline and the roadmap that they have. From Breitbart, China limits magnesium production, causing supply chain constraints. I reported on this a little while ago. This is an update to it. China, the world's top producer of magnesium, has severely limited production of the metal hardener used across the aluminum industries since September, throwing global supply chains into disarray and threatening to further disrupt worldwide trade through 2022. Around 85% of the world's magnesium production comes from China, and a large chunk of it from its one town in Shaanxi province. In 2001, Europe was forced to close its remaining magnesium production as a consequence of dumped Chinese imports. This is what our previous president, Donald Trump, worked so hard to avoid in America. When they start dumping, our people can't compete, and the next thing you know, they're out of business and China has the monopoly. Donald Trump had the best for our nation in his mind. He was a great president. Please don't send me bad emails about the guy. I just get upset and I just have no desire to read them, okay? And now depends for 95% on China supply. They have no magnesium production there because they just closed all of their magnesium production. And now they get 5% from somewhere and they get 95% from the Chinese. Who owns who in this world? European Aluminum said the world's current magnesium supply shortage represents a clear example of the risk the EU is taking by making its domestic economy dependent on Chinese imports. Bad news, folks. From the South China Morning Post, China's well-oiled military machine launches 3 warships in one day. China launched 3 warships, including 2 for export, on Thursday as it expands its naval construction strength. This was last Thursday, about a week ago. They're putting out 3 ships in a day sometimes. That's what we were doing during World War II. I bet you we can't get shipmakers to put one out once a month nowadays. I could be wrong. I don't know. But China's got a well-oiled machine, that's for sure. From Newsmax, Taiwan chip industry emerges as battlefront in U.S.-China showdown. I've talked about this several times. This is an important article because it's a very important issue. On the front line of the superpower struggle between the United States and China, Taiwan has fashioned a defensive masterstroke. It has become indispensable to both sides in dominating the fabrication of the most advanced semiconductors. The giant Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company Limited has captured a technology that's crucial to the cutting-edge digital devices and weapons of today and tomorrow. TSMC accounts for more than 90% of global output of these chips. Both superpowers now find themselves deeply dependent on the small island at the center of their increasingly tense rivalry. For Washington, allowing an increasingly powerful China to overrun TSMC's foundries in a conflict would threaten U.S. military and technological leadership. We'll stop right there because some people in Washington care about that. The people that are in power right now do not. If they were to run over Taiwan right now, they would say, well, you're our masters. We'll just do whatever you want because they're all commies up there in the left anyway. Okay, but there are people that still care about this nation and about being able to work within the world because of something that is almost completely dominated by Taiwan. We'll go on. For Washington, allowing an increasingly powerful China to overrun TSMC's foundries in a conflict would threaten U.S. military and technological leadership. However, if Beijing invades, there is no guarantee it could seize the prized foundries intact. They could easily become a casualty of the fighting, severing the supply of chips to China's vast electronics industry. Even if the foundry survived a Chinese takeover, they would almost certainly be cut off from a global supply chain essential to their output. Both America and China want to break their dependency. Washington has persuaded TSMC to open a U.S. foundry that will make advanced semiconductors and is preparing to spend billions rebuilding its domestic chip-making industry. Beijing, too, is spending big, but its chip industry lags a decade or so behind Taiwan's in many key areas. Analysts say that gap is expected to widen in the years ahead. So valuable are these foundries to the global economy that some here refer to Taiwan's chip sector as the Silicon Shield that deters a Chinese attack and ensures American support. In an interview, Taiwan Economy Minister Wang Meihua said that the industry is deeply intertwined with the island's future. This isn't just about our economic safety, she said. It appears to be connected to our national security, too. In a later statement, the ministry played down the Silicon Shield theory. Rather than saying that the chip industry is Taiwan's Silicon Shield, the statement said, "It is more appropriate to say that Taiwan has an important position in the global supply chain. The danger for Taiwan is that TSMC's fabrications, as the chip fabrication plants are known, are right in the line of fire." So there you go with that. The world could devolve into, you know, no technology at all for quite a while if something was to happen to that. I don't think that our leadership in Washington cares. They don't want things the way they are. They want to see things grind to a halt, and they want to take over in whatever way they can this nation. They want to have their little commie agenda running this nation, and no more freedoms for you or me if you're in America. If you're not in America, you may be better off at this point because we got some really bad leaders in this nation. One way or another, that's what's going on with that particular issue. We'll see where it all pans out. Okay, I got one title to read you. Some good news out of Russia to close us out on the articles from Zero Hedge. A woman is a woman. Man is a man. Putin vows to protect Russia from West's gender obscurationism. That's a guy that at least knows something about biology. I mean, people in this country cannot seem to figure it out. People all over the world are not able to figure this out. So I'll read it again. Maybe I'll get blocked from Rumble now, who knows, for reading a title. A woman is a woman. Man is a man. Putin vows to protect Russia from West's gender obscurationism. There you go. Good stuff from Russia for once, okay? I know there's a lot of things going on over in Russia right now and China that are scary to the world. But I'm not worried about that. My friend called me today, and he's a little concerned about the state of the world and what if a nuclear war happened and et cetera, et cetera. He's close to some military establishments, and I'm pretty close too. MacDill Air Force Base is only 50 miles away, and if they miss by a couple miles and Sarasota is going to get vaporized, that doesn't bother me at all. He kept asking me, am I worried about it? And no, I'm not. I'm not in the slightest. I'm not going to let it worry me. God has the timing of my life planned down to the last second, and he had it so before he created the first atom of this universe. Okay, I'm not concerned about those type of things. My trust is in Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can do about those things, so I am not going to worry about them at all. And I got to tell you what, if a nuke detonated over Siesta Key today, I wouldn't be here to worry about it. It would be over so quickly, it just wouldn't matter. And I'd get to be with Jesus. So no matter what happens, in life or in death, we are his if we belong to him. This is what the Bible teaches. This is the message of salvation that comes from knowing who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for the people of the world. He died to pay our sin debt. He gave up his life for us. This is the creator of the universe who was willing to give up the life of his humanity in order to pay our sin debt, okay? And then he went into the grave. He was dead. He wasn't just swooned. He was really dead. And when he went into the grave, remember, our sin was placed on him. It goes back to the Old Testament symbolism. Place your hands on the animal, confess your sin over it, and then kill the animal, okay? The sin is dying with the animal is the symbolism. Christ, who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So he gave up his life in exchange for our sin. He went into the grave with our sin, bearing our sin. He's the sin bearer, okay? And then what happened on the third day? Praise God, he came out of that grave. Jesus Christ came out of that grave, proving a couple things, proving that he had no sin of his own, because if he did, he'd still be in the grave. And two, proving that he is God. Because the Bible says, the man who does the things of the law will live by them. And no man can do the things of the law. Only God can do it. It is his righteousness, the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ that brought him out of the grave. He had no sin of his own. But what does that mean? If he died with our sin and he came out of the grave with no sin, what does that mean? That means that our sin, if we are in Christ, is in the grave. It's gone. It is forgotten forever. People don't understand eternal salvation. They dismiss it. They poo-poo it. I'm telling you what, they don't know what they're talking about. The sin is gone, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that we are no longer being imputed sin. If your sin is gone and you're not being imputed any more sin, you tell me how you can lose your salvation, okay? It's a bad argument to make because you will not win it. God is faithful to his covenant even when we are unfaithful to it. That's the way it is, and that's the lesson that we see in the people of Israel. They have never been cast off by him because he covenanted with them. Even though they've done wrong, he covenanted with them. And because of that, he has been faithful to his side of the covenant. So call on Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God through his precious shed blood. And so from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is your midweek CG report.